Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. I am very excited for today's show. We have been trying to put this show on with this particular guest several times. We've had to move it. We've had the technology blues, man. Just things weren't working right. But today, knock on wood, they are, and I would like everybody to give a warm welcome to Izzy from Izzy's Caravan. Izzy, how
hey,
are
Jamie,
you?
I'm good, buddy. Glad to be here, man. It took a while, but here I am, man. I feel like a bit of a rock star, man, with the schedule, man.
I'm telling you, I know you're working with the fine folks, Mike Stover and everybody over at MTS Records, and I got to tell you, I've worked with Mike for about 5 years now, and Mike doesn't sleep ever. It's the weirdest thing. Because I'm a weirdo, you know. I get up. I have really strange hours. I get up super early, and I'll have an idea and I'll email Mike, and he just responds right away. I'm like, why are you up at 4 a.m, man? What's going on? But he does. So I imagine he's got you doing a lot of these shows.
It's you know, man, I really got to give a huge shout out to him, for sure. Because, again, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. You know, he's backed this band from day one, man. And he's really...
Nice.
In such a short time, he's really... really taken us to new heights, man, and it's just getting better and better every day. But he's awesome, dude. It's you know, off bat, you know, throw him an email, anything, dude. He's, you know, he's there for advice. He's so he really helps us out, man. And, you know, and this whole business has become so complex anyway. He's such a brilliant GPS for us, man. He's literally like a GPS system, man. Wherever he says go. We, you know, I take the lead, and I follow it, man. So yeah, big shout out to him, dude.
I hear you. Well, I wanted to ask you, as you know, it's interesting. You perform, and you dip your paintbrush in one of my favorite genres of music, blues rock, and you're really good at it. Were you always into blues rock, or like growing up, were you a music kid? You know, were you that guy, you know, that always had a guitar? And what's the story, Izzy?
It goes back to literally. I still remember. I was about 4 years old when I first heard "Money for Nothing" by Dire Straits, and my dad would play these records, right? Pink Floyd and Dire Straits and the Eagles and whatnot. But I think, you know, that was the origin point, but. You know, as a teenager, I was literally the biggest Aerosmith fan possible, man.
I gotcha.
The Aerosmith, like the early Aerosmith stuff, right? All the way from, particularly Rocks, right? So I really grew up in that mold of that sort of, you know, Brad Whitford and Joe Perry dynamic. And, you know, I got my Aerosmith tattoo. And so I was a huge Aerosmith fan, right? I think that was sort of, you know, back then when they were like a really killer blues band and stuff, right? That raunchy sort of Stones like swagger, that was something which really sort of appealed to me. I actually left music for a decade or so around 2006, and it's just a couple of years back that I sort of picked up the guitar again. And but this time when I started sort of, you know, relearning the guitar, rather than sort of, you know, progressing with modernity and post-modernity, I guess I went further back, right? I sort of regressed into old-school blues and, you know. So, yeah, one thing led to another, and, you know, I just got absolutely smitten, man, fixated by the blues, and that was it, man. Yeah.
I am telling you. I remember being a kid, and Aerosmith was kind of coming back, you know, when they started doing all the, you know, kind of ballad type stuff. And good for them. Hey, man, you got to, you know, if that's what it takes to buy a swimming pool, you know, I'm not putting it down or anything. But I remember I was hanging out with my friend Steve and his older brother. He was about 10 years older than us, and he knew all the good rock stuff. He was my encyclopedia of rock. And I was talking about it. I'm like, yeah, their new stuff's okay. And he goes, oh, hold on. And he pulled out Night in the Ruts. We put it on the, you know, the vinyl, and we put it on, and I'm like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, this is way better.
Yeah. What a record, dude.
I hear and agree.
One of the records, Draw the Line, you know, I don't know, I guess it gets a bad rap, but I absolutely love that record. Everything from Sight for Sore Eyes, I mean, that, you know, Draw the Line itself, I thought that was such a brilliant record. I don't know why people didn't I guess that was their...
I was saying that happens, man. I get crap all the time from friends of mine. I'm a big Alice Cooper fan, and one of my favorite albums by him is Flush the Fashion, which I've read in interviews and stuff. He doesn't even remember making, you know, he was just whacked out of his head. It's a great record, you know, but my friends who are also Cooper fans are like, no, that record's terrible. Too much keyboards. And I'm like, well, you know, people do different things, you know.
So did you ever get a chance to check out Hollywood Vampires? I guess that's got Joe Perry. But yeah, did you ever check them out?
Good stuff, man. I dig it. I dig it. No, I dig. Also, I'm digging Izzy's Caravan a lot, man. You bring it.
Cool.
You bring it. Was this? I know that you had a record out. This was your first EP. Was Leo's Guitar, and then Zephyr's, and then you got On the Pull. That's dropping what this week?
Yeah, I dropped just a week back, June 17th. Just a few weeks back, actually. And this was
June
my
17th.
Third record
okay.
in. Yeah, it was my third record in a span of 6 months, man. So I'm on a bit of a roll right now, you know.
I'm telling you.
Plugging out records after records, man. So it's been awesome, man.
It's one of those periods, too, where the world is giving us an opportunity to work. You know, they're like, well, you can do some work or go crazy. Your choice. Do you have like a studio set up there at home, or do you send it out to people? How does that work? When Izzy?
Yeah, I set up my own studio, and again, you know, the good side of technology is you know, now it's so you know, softwares and you know, recording software, this, that. But so it sort of made our lives a lot simpler that way, right? So I've got my studio, and then the guys are around. So, you know, I sort of do all the writing and stuff, and then send them out basically their parts and stuff. So we put it together. We're pretty self-reliant that way. You know, it's
That's
we
awesome.
Get our hands dirty. That you know, we. Really get our hands dirty with our own stuff. I guess it beats, you know, and we're our worst critics as well, right? So so we don't hold back.
Right. Let me ask you this, Izzy, because, you know, we hear the finished product and we're like, oh, that's amazing, man. That's cool. Turned up to 10. That is it, baby. Are you a tinkerer? I'm a painter by trade. I'm not in the music business. I paint pictures of people. And sometimes it's really hard for me, especially lately being stuck in at home. I'll work on a painting, and then I'll just keep looking at it and going, I got to mess with, you know what I mean? And fortunately, my wife's like, nope. It gets wrapped and goes up on the shelf after She takes the pictures. It's done, you know. But we have to do that. Otherwise, I'll keep messing with it. And sometimes messing
yeah,
up.
Are
you that way
with
your music?
I think who was it? Terrence Malick, I think. I think it was Terrence Malick who said art is never finished. It's just ultimately you just end it in the sense you just stop working on it.
Right.
And I thought that was such a profound thing to say, right? Because I'm telling you, man, I hear you completely. By the way, I think it's amazing you're an artist, man. That's really cool, dude. I completely, you know, when I start sort of, you know, the whole process is so phenomenal, though. I mean, the journey of where a song begins. I mean, for me, it literally starts in my head. Sometimes I will literally sort of, you know, I'll literally be driving or something and a riff will sort of pop up in my head, right? So instantly what I do is I literally sort of sing it, right? I sing the riff into my phone and I'll record it, whatever. Then I'll go home or I'll practice or something and a riff will come out or a lick comes out. And I'm like, that's it, right? That's what something... So that entire journey from that idea in your head or a lick that you're playing, and then slowly you start adding, you know, just it's like a canvas, man. You slowly start adding the colors to it, and it starts becoming
right.
something. And you know, I mean, I still remember somebody recently asked me, like, what's the best and worst part of recording? And I said, it's the same. It's when the song is finished. Because the best part is, of course, you know, sort of starting at such an embryonic stage, right, where you just have an idea, and then, you know, building it. So that's the best part. But the worst part is also when you hit a finished record, because now it's no longer in your control, right? I mean, these are like your kids, right? And now you got to let them go, right? Somebody on YouTube or Spotify is now going to essentially be the judge, jury, and executioner of these tracks, right? So it's, it's...
Oh, absolutely.
Really, right?
And it's weird, too, because as an artist, and I'm sure this happens with musicians, too, at least for me it does, with painting, is, I was talking to a collector of mine. He collects a lot of work, and, I really dig this guy. You know, he spends a lot of money. And he's just a nice guy. But I had done a bunch of work for him a couple years ago. And he recently came back and he's like, hey, I need a bunch more work done. I'm like, hey, I'm your guy, you know, not a problem. And he's like, I really liked when you did this, you know, on this and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay. And I have to learn to keep my mouth shut because I almost said, oh, yeah, I didn't dig that at all. I'm so much better at doing this now. You know what I mean? And I didn't want to put down the work that he had already got. But as an artist, I'm like, I look at old stuff on my website, and I'm like, oh, we need to take that down. That's terrible. I need to redo that, you know, and do it right. But you can't do that. You know, something, like you said, when it's done, it's done. You have to stop and go on to something else. But it's you know, one of the cool things about doing, I was just thinking, you have these three albums out in such a short time. Man, when all this ends, if you start playing live, one of the problems, I remember when I was a kid, all my friends were in bands, and they'd get gigs, you know, like high school gigs and stuff, and they knew four songs, so they would play, you know, those four songs over and over for an hour set. Everybody's annoyed. Izzy doesn't have that problem because he's got a lot of music now, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's got to...
Big.
It's kind of cool you bring that up because, you know, since we're stuck, believe it or not, we've already started laying down. In fact, just tonight, believe it or not, just today, I actually just laid down one of the initial riffs for our fourth record, which we plan to release in by Christmas. Because we're like, hey, since we're stuck at home, might as well just... You know, and we're, you know, things are good, we're flying high, man, might as well throw out another one. But it's really cool because I've actually, you know, it's in sort of this, you know, I'm vicariously sort of living out the road life as well, where we've slowly, you know, me and Rock, who's my bass player, we've slowly started, like, rehearsing already and obviously, you know, being safe and stuff. We're trying our best to be safe and, We slowly started rehearsing, and I was actually drawing out like a set list because we want to hit the road next summer, man. And I'm just hoping things become better.
Me too. Me too. I'm one of these guys. I'm always the glasses half full, and you know, I'm in South Florida, and it's now the new epicenter of the planet, apparently.
I heard.
I live with a bunch of stupid people is what I live with. You know, we thought we were doing good. We weren't. You know, we're going to have to be stuck in here another 3 months or something. I hope it does.
Yeah.
And, you know, hey, when all this is over, the cool thing is when you guys do hit the road, you now have a friend in South Florida. So, you know.
Absolutely.
Get a Miami or Fort Lauderdale gig or something. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beattie, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Ruxgear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Holla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
I always tell my musician friends this, and they love it. We live 10 minutes from the beach, and they're like, yeah, that's great, Jamie. And then I say, well, we have a guest room. They're like, oh, that's better. We don't have to sleep in the van. And this is where I get them. I'm like, and we have a couple showers and a working washer and dryer. And they're like, oh, we're there. Yeah. And then I put them, and my wife's Italian and makes great food. I'm not as many, so.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good deal.
And you'll have bands coming your way all the time, man.
Exactly.
That's awesome,
exactly.
For sure.
But a little
change
up.
We'd love to be
absolutely.
You know,
now, tell me about. We're going to play a couple of tracks off the latest EP, came out June 17th, On the Pull. Now, the impetus for this EP, this album, did it just come to you like when you were driving, or where did this come about? The general theme of On the Pull.
See, you know, to to give you a little bit of context, man, prior to this record, I had done Zephyrs. And Zephyrs was such a shift in gears from, you know, it was actually, I'm a big Tom Petty fan as well, right? And, you know, when he passed away, like, really sort of, really got me down, man. And, you know, he
was a hard one.
Part of my life, right? I mean, his music was, you know, and I'm a huge Mike Gamble fan, by the way. I love Mike Gamble's guitar playing, right? I've always sort of admired his. So anyway, Zephyrs was a very melancholic sort of therapeutic exercise, so to speak, right? When it came to On the Boat, to me, I knew that this record had to be the what I literally call my identity record, right? Everywhere across the board, I've said this is my identity record. This is who the band is. This is what we are. This is what we sound like. It's unapologetic. It's brash. It's crude. And we're absolutely okay with it. You know, a rough on the edge production. The real catalyst to this was, as a reference point to me, was Johnny Winter. I love Johnny Winter. And I really sort of dug deep into his catalog, heard a lot of tunes, heard a lot, you know, his song construction, you know, guitar style. And it wasn't that, you know, I tried to mimic what he did. It was just I needed that one reference point, right? That, all right, this is what my identity has to be going forward, right? I sort of experimented with Zephyrs, but now we sort of have to lay down the benchmark of what the identity of the band is. And this, you know, so Johnny Winter turned out to be a perfect sort of blueprint for you know, this record. And so it turned out, you know, to me, I mean, Jamie, I'm telling you, man, you can hold me to this. You have it on record now. I mean, you have it on, you know. You can literally, on my last day, if you ask me, what's the one record that you're really proud of? It's this one, man. It really meant so much.
Nice.
Once it was finally done and, you know, it came out, it was just that sort of, you know, that perfect sort of the DNA of what we wanted to be as a band surfaced on this record. And it's you know, now we have our own blueprint going forward that, look, this is what we did and we got to now build on this. So, yeah, that was really cool doing this record.
That's awesome, man. I said, well, let's play a track so people can hear what we're talking about. I've got four tracks queued up from it, from On the Pole. I've got On the Pole, Drowning Man Blues, Whiskey Alley Blues, and Boneyard Blues. What should we play first for people to introduce them
to
Izzy's character?
Yeah, we can go with the title track, On the Pole. It's a cool,
sounds great.
Roll tune, man. Yeah.
Well, here it is, ladies and gentlemen. Check this out. On the Pole, Izzy's Caravan.
And here we go. Down like Dairy Queen.
And there it was, folks, on the pull, Izzy's Caravan. It's a fantastic track, Izzy. I like that a lot. I like that a lot. Good stuff.
Yeah, that's you know, and the cool thing about that is what we wanted to do is we really wanted to sort of get a live feel of the band. And so when I recorded this stuff as well, it just practically all the guitar stuff that you hear is just single takes, man. It's just, all right, here we go.
Nice.
Press record and, on the DAW and let it roll, man. Let's see how it turns out. And, so we really
there you go.
And it worked out. Yeah, it worked out pretty well, man.
That's fantastic. I love, you know, there is no greater feeling, and I know this in my world, and I'm sure it applies in your world as well, when you do something, you know, you put your work down, people dig it, and they get what you're saying, and it flows, it doesn't bite you that much, and everything's just, all the cylinders are firing, you know, and it's like, that's a great feeling, because it doesn't happen all the time, you know, at least in my world it doesn't, but... Man, it just really comes through, you know. The way you talk about this EP, you can tell that this was a good one, you know. This was a good one. That's a good feeling.
Yeah, so sometimes the stars do align, man. And, you know, it's it's interesting where some days, some songs can sometimes take you weeks on end to figure out, right?
Right.
And some days are just diamond where, you know, you're just plugged in, the DAW is recording stuff and it's just magic, right? And you're like, that's it, man. That's all what we needed to do. I remember on the Zephyrs EP, one of the tracks that we have, South of Yesterday, and the version that showed up on the record is literally this very sort of minimalistic version of the song. And trust me, I mean, believe me, I tried everything. We put violins in there. We put, you know, these sort of back orchestra and stuff. And nothing worked, right? And we're like, wow, let's just... And ultimately, just the basic, the
let
basic
it be, yeah.
Song. Yeah, just let it be. And it turned out pretty well, you know? It's like, all right, cool.
Sometimes you have to do that. You have to. I had a friend of mine in school that said, sometimes you just have to. She had put it so eloquently. She said, sometimes you just have to listen to your brush. You know, and I'm like, that was a hard lesson to learn, but it's true.
Yeah,
that's cool, man. That is cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Do you have flood insurance through the National Flood Insurance Program? Was your property damaged by the recent flooding? Then you need to file a claim with your insurance agent. Policyholders only have 60 days from the date flood damage occurred to file a claim. Remember, before rebuilding or making repairs, contact your local building official to obtain proper permits. Make sure to document damage through photos or video and immediately start the cleanup process. For information, visit floodsmart.gov/start or call 1-800-427-4661.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit makingcancerhistory.com.
Now, let me ask I wanted to ask you, is there a particular type? No, so you're a guitar guy, and growing up, every friend I had, I grew up in outside of Detroit, and very industrial town, you know, a lot of factories and whatnot. But everybody my age and their older brothers all wanted to be guitar players. That was, you know, the way to meet girls and, you know, get into bands, and that was the cool thing.
Yeah.
Did you have a particular type of guitar when you got into guitar that you always go to, or do you have many guitars and whatever tool works for whatever you need? Where do you lay on that?
Oh, that's, now you're just teasing me now because this is awesome. It's such a great question. Obviously when I was a kid, right, looking at guys like Jimmy Page and Joe Berry and, Slash and whatnot,
Right.
Gibson, Les Paul and whatnot, right? So obviously I was like, wow, man, check out these Gibsons, right, whatever, they're so awesome, dude. I'm an absolutely unashamed Fender fanatic, dude. I love
Oh,
Fenders, right? I have an entire collection of Fenders. I think I have about 23 of them right now. And so Fender, if you're listening, you've taken all my money and now I'm forced to make these records because I need to do something with these guitars, right?
Oh,
But
that's
yeah,
funny.
I have like everything. I have, from a Clapton signature series to a 69 original Strat to Teles to I just have this whole sort of collection of Fenders, and you know what, to me, it really represents American history as well, right? Because I mean, it's not just, I sort of don't see it just as a guitar, though. I see it as a cultural artifact of American history, man. It's so deep rooted into American history now, and it sort of really elevates itself above just being a music instrument. So there's that history aligned with it as well, which really fascinates me, right? I keep watching videos
Oh,
on,
yeah.
the origin of the Telecaster and where it came from and how
Right.
Leo Fender came up with it and whatnot. It's just so much fun, though, right? It's just like, wow, you learn so much from this stuff, right? It's cool that way. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, and it's your passion, and that it's obvious, it's interesting you say that. I have friends of mine that are they're car guys. They're really into car, and it when you were just talking, it reminded me of my friend Dale, who is a Mustang fanatic. And we'll tell
Oh,
you,
cool.
you can name a year. He'll tell you how many Mustangs were built in that particular year, and the tail lights changed, and the he just knows it all. And it's fascinating. But the cool thing is, if I ever have a Mustang question, I know that's the person I want to. That's who I phone a friend if I'm ever on that game show, where you phone the friend. And now, when I have a Fender question, I know who to go to as well. It's easy. Yeah.
I'll be glad of that. Yeah.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Let's
Yeah,
play another track. Should we go? Oh, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead, Izzy.
No. Go ahead. Yeah, let the music do the talking now. Yeah.
Absolutely. We've got now we're getting into the we've got the Drowning Man Blues, the Whiskey Alley Blues, or the Boneyard
Oh, we
Blues.
can
What should we go
go
with next?
for we can go for Whiskey Alley Blues. That's a fun track.
Absolutely. We'll play it and then we'll talk about it. Here it is, everybody.
Cool.
This is the Whiskey Alley Blues, Izzy's Caravan.
Fender Strat. Gonna dig it too.
Molly. A man. A cat. And his tracks. Young. They want him to play the blues. On a deal.
Alley Blues, Izzy's Caravan. Izzy, that's another fantastic track. Another fun, fantastic track. I like that one. Good stuff. Good stuff. Tell us a little bit, how did Whiskey Alley Blues come about?
Yeah, this was one riff that I had sitting around for a while. And honestly, initially, I didn't think this was going to make it on the record. But again, it just, just how we were talking earlier, that some days... it's absolute magic, right? And I remember I just started playing it, and we started doing the drum arrangements and stuff, and we're like, let's just try it out, right, and see if it works out. And it did. It just fit perfectly. So we went through with it, and it's really cool because for this one, it's just it's a little bit of the lyrics and stuff, it's a deviation of that entire Robert Johnson legend, right, where he goes to the crossroads and, he sells his soul and the devil to his strength, and next thing, Robert Johnson. So we, I sort of wanted to do a little play on that, and the lyrics are pretty much, a slight deviation of that story. So it was fun doing this track, and it just came out, literally with the harmonica and the piano and stuff. It just came out so funky and groovy. It's literally one of my favorite tracks. And with the whole thing at the end, we were just riffing at the end, and everything just fits so well. So it's all authentic, man. It's all literally, it's all single takes, man. We just recorded and that's it. Yeah.
That's fantastic. There is something with the addition, with the harmonica that is that just has a touch of soul in it that adds so much, to a track. I years ago I met a harmonica blues guy. I was Izzy. I had a bad summer, man. I moved to Las Vegas. I was going through a heartbreak. And when I was younger,
good times, man. Good times.
I moved to Vegas, and I was hanging out at this rockabilly bar that was down the street from my house.
Yeah.
And so I'm hanging out there, and they'd have different types of performers come through. And there was this guy named Slim, and he was a blues guy. And I'll never forget, he would wear this belt like a gunslinger almost. And he had all these different harmonicas in it. And I guess they were different octaves or something, He knew. No, he was my harmonica guy. He knew more about harmonicas than anybody else. But I like it in that Whiskey Alley Blues there. That is, that's nice. That's a cool track. That is awesome. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC.
With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at MBMMusicLLC.com. That's MBMMusicLLC.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's R-O-X-X, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books, like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool, and these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
Also, ladies and gentlemen, I just realized we haven't mentioned Izzy's website. Very easy to find. Izzy'sCaravan.com. And also, we have links up to all the social media and whatnot on our show page, including Spotify. Izzy, your music's out. People can buy this, right?
Yeah, it's available on all digital platforms. It's up on YouTube as well. You know, you can stream it, watch it. You know, we just released a really cool video for Drowning Man's Blues as well, so that's up there. Tons of music, and if they go to the website, man, it's a really action-packed website. It's got so much stuff on it, from videos to interviews to all the latest news and press coverage and all the music is up there, by the way. Some unreleased music is up there as well, so they can check it out. It's a really, really fully loaded website. Yeah. So it's cool.
Well, I like it. And it's easy to navigate.
Yeah.
Say again?
I was just saying it's an open invite to people to join the caravan. And if you're into blues rock, give it a look, have a listen, and have fun, right?
Nice. There's tons of photos and all kinds of stuff on here. It's very, very cool. Izzy, I got to say, I like your hat, man. You seem to always have this hat on. That is a cool hat. I dig it. Now, do you have that one hat or do you have several hats like your Fenders?
Oh, man.
I see them on the
I have so many hats. I have so many hats, dude. It's because my hair is it's a complete disaster, man. I don't even know what the thing is anymore, man. So the hats pretty much, do the work for me there, man. So they sort that mess
out. I'm telling you, I am. I'm the same way. And I was, I grew up, I was a weirdo growing up and stuff. So I always had this big crazy hair and put way too much stuff in it. And, it was the 80s, 90s and stuff. I'm paying for it now. And everybody's like, you're always wearing hats now. You don't have the big. I said, you're right. Because, it would look real dumb now. There's not as much. But
yeah,
I like my hat. Because the great thing about a hat is you can just put it on and go. You're out the door in 5 minutes.
For sure, man. I mean, it's the easiest. And plus, man, don't take me back to the 1980s, man, where you know, putting so much gel in your hair with, you know, paisley shirts was like the coolest thing ever, man. It was, oh, man. That
it was,
you know, I sort of wiped that off my memory, man. But it's back now.
Oh, I could send you some pictures. It was you're like, oh, did he put his hand in a socket? What happened? Now it's
absolutely
very
shocking, man. Shocking stuff, dude. You know, we thought we looked good, man. Yeah,
we did. We all thought we were. You know, and like, I look back too at some of that stuff, and I'm like, man, why did I buy? Why was I wearing that shirt? That looks like something my sister would. And I remember spending money on that. You know, like lots of money. I was.
Imagine
but,
that.
You know, you're young.
That's true. Yeah.
Everybody does it. It's
yeah.
It's so funny because I was just watching some comedian too, and he had a great bit. He was it wasn't Bill Burr. We were talking about Bill Burr off mic, but I can't remember who it was. But he was talking about kids, and he's like, you know, he goes, give the old people a little bit of a break because, you know, it'll happen to you. You'll be 40, and you'll be the old jerk, you know, that won't understand their music. But see, I think me and Izzy are different because we like this old music, you know, this old style. We appreciate that. And I want to say this about your music, Izzy, is it's not dated sounding. It doesn't. I don't listen to it and go, oh, that's from, you know, that sounds like it's from 1942 or something. You know what I mean? It's fresh, but there's definitely nods to classic blues and whatnot in it. I think you do that very well, you know?
Oh, that's awesome, man. Thanks, dude. Yeah, because you know, again, it's, you know, just the one thing that I'm a real stickler for is you know, just keeping that sort of traditional feel. And again, you know, it was funny when I sort of got back into this as well. And everyone's like, oh man, this is not gonna go anywhere, right? It's over, right? The blues are done. Rock and roll is dead. What are you even trying to do, right? You know, I took the gamble, man, and I was like, well, this is the only thing I know how to do, right? And that's pretty much what I'm going to play.
Right.
And it's okay for us, right? I mean, we're so comfortable in our skin. It literally comes, you know, at least it comes to me pretty naturally. So like I said, I mean, I'll do what I can do to the best of my ability and not be apologetic about it, right? And again, you know, I always sort of keep bringing this up.
It's because you do it so well, Izzy. That's the thing, you know? People love it. They love it because it's done well. I'm sure you've done this as a musician. I mean, we've all seen bands or been to shows or concerts or whatever where it wasn't done well. You know, everybody has those days. Everybody down.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not just the day, though. But it's obvious you know your business. You know your business. And I get excited listening to that. And I like looking at or listening and experiencing professionals at their work that are passionate about their work. And they just do it well. You know, they have the talent and the chops to back that up, that passion. And I think that's the case with you and Izzy's Caravan in general. Do you use the same group of guys or gals, whatever the case may be, on your tracks? Or does it change with each album or each project?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so initially when I started out, it was just me, right? And, you know, I was like, well, you know, I'll just sort of do this thing myself. And I guess, you know, it's cool that you asked that because the whole idea behind the caravan, like Izzy's Caravan, the caravan part was, you know, just using like-minded musicians as collaborators and, you know, who can help out with songs,
mm-hmm.
and hunting down musicians and saying, hey, you know, do you want to contribute to the song and stuff? And so initially it started out that way, and it was really cool. You know, I've met so many cool musicians out there. But slowly, when it started getting together, when it started gaining some traction, now I've actually got like a fixed group of musicians. So I got my old friend, you know, my brother who was, you know, part of my first band in Canada, so Sim, he's back on vocals now, which is really cool. We're a lot older and a lot wiser now. So he's back. So that was a huge. Now we have a set group of. It's like Bob Dylan and the band, right? Sort of thing.
Right. Absolutely. Well, it's. Like I said, I've never been in the music business. I've never been in a band. I've never had any. I wanted to. I've been very jealous of musicians I've known. Yeah. Like I said, it's a good way to meet girls. At least it was when I was growing up. All of my friends, it seems like when I was younger, all of my friends wanted to be in bands. And then I moved out to the West Coast of the U.S. here. And then all my friends suddenly were making movies. And now it's a weird mix between the two, but I know with a band it's such an interesting dynamic to it that it doesn't always work. It is a lot of work in itself finding like-minded people that gel together because you're dealing with different egos and different perspectives of projects and whatnot and sounds and music and this and that. It's an important thing when you find people that are digging what you're doing and getting the same vibe and groove, you know? I get it. That's an important thing.
I think that the really sort of the common denominator between us now is the fact that we all listen to the same music. And so it's not a hard sell to these guys, right? So when I finally get done with the tracks and when I sort of give it to them, it's not a hard sell at all, right? They're already on board with it.
Nice.
And I guess, you know, if you see the bands that have survived, right, at some point, somebody's got to take grab it by the scruff of the neck and say, look, this is who we are, right? And so,
right.
Like I said, you know, with On the Pole, I mean, the cool thing now is that all the musicians on board know what we are as a band, which is, all right, this is us. And this is what we're going to be doing now for the next record and the record after, right, so on and so forth, right? So now we know who we are as musicians and we have this identity now. And we're like, all right, we're just a straight-up rock and roll blues band. And so it's really cool. And I think we... Like I said, you know, having that common denominator where everyone sort of likes the same music is such a plus point for us, right?
That's awesome.
It works out really well, yeah.
That's so cool. That is so cool. That's man, I'm just looking at the time. We're up against it, Izzy. We've got time to do another track. Man, this went by quick. The hours go by quick. I don't know what to feel. We're zooming along. We've got what should we play next? We've got Drowning Man Blues and Boneyard Blues. What should we play as our next track?
No, I'll tell you. I'll leave it up to you. We can, if you're in for a really raucous sort of blues track, then Drowning Man Blues. If you're up for a fun sort of very upbeat track than Boneyard Blues, but again, go for Drowning Man's Blues. How's that?
That sounds cool. I was just, me and you were thinking the same way. Oh man, well here it is, folks. This is Drowning Man Blues. We'll play it and then we'll talk about it. Check it out.
I can't lose track. Just get it,
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. That was Drowning Man Blues. Tell us a little bit about this one. You said this is very raucous. And,
This was actually one of the first ones that came out for this record. And, again, I just love the sort of guitar interplay, and I always found this riff to be pretty cool. I always knew I had to get something out of it, but and again, it's sort of like some degree of escapism as well, where it's just, the entire story is just about a guy who's going through his old midlife grind, so to speak, and all he wants to do is get out, play the blues, he wants to travel across the Mississippi, and I guess that's, sometimes it's really interesting when these are the kind of questions we ask ourselves in our lives, right, that, wow, I was good at
something,
like art or music or writing something, and I didn't pursue it, and I wish I had, right, so I think it's just, track is sort of, brings that sort of, emotional state of a person out. And I guess it's introspective of, I think, what I went through, where when I got back, I sort of asked myself, I was like, look, man, I gave it a shot. It didn't work out. I left it. But now that I'm back, this time I actually want to do it, and I want to do it right. And I don't want to, I don't want to sort of go at the end of the day and say, well, I didn't do this, right? This was the one passion in my life. And I think it would have been really tragic to live my life not sort of having pursued it. So I think these were the kind of sort of sentiments that I was experiencing, and they sort of surfaced. It was, this track is really fun to do, really, really fun to do.
That's fantastic. I see that here where I'm at in South Florida. There is, I've seen it a few times where, kind of like you, maybe you guys are a little older, and they wanted to be in music or whatever, really, but music in particular is what I'm thinking of. And life happened, they had families, and you got to work. You have to work steady, where there's a steady check and health insurance, when you have a family. And so the music got put on the back burner, and now a lot of these guys are to a point where the kids are grown, they're out doing their thing, they're going to college and things, and these guys, and they have a little bit of money to afford 25 Fender. No, I'm kidding. Kind of, but they have the financial wherewithal to build home studios, and I think it's very inspiring. Here's somebody like yourself that's doing that went away from their passion, and it doesn't matter what you do, ladies and gentlemen. Be inspired by it, because that passion still remains, get back into it at some point when you can. And you have all this life experience now to draw from as well, creatively, very inspiring, Izzy, very inspiring.
Yeah. I still remember when I got back, and when I first sort of, held the guitar and stuff, and I sort of played a few times and stuff, it was literally looking at it through the eyes of a kid again. And I think that child, that kid inside me was like, all right, let's do this, man. Let's do something with it, right? And like you said, it's hard to find, people who are slightly older as well, stuff like families and stuff. Mm. And they're like, oh, nothing's going to happen out of this, right? And I was like, well, let's still give it a shot, man. See what we've got left in the tank.
Yeah, why not?
Take the gamble, man. It's fun.
That's, absolutely. The great thing, too, about working with people that, at least in my world, is, man, girlfriends or whatever, or why, they're not going to give you a hard time, about quit spending your time with it, They already got the house, so they're happy, I'm going to get emails. But the other thing too is, it's just, you've got that, and the learning curve too, what doesn't work. That is so important, that is so important. It saves so much time.
Yeah, fair enough.
You can, does.
And again, like I said, you know, you're a lot older and a lot wiser, and you know, you're a lot more sort of calculated in the risks you can take, and there's a certain sense of humility as well, right? You've, at this point, you've accepted there are things you can do and you're good at, and there are things that you can't do, and that's okay. So like, yeah, like right. I said, I mean, you know, I play the blues and this sort of blues rock music because it's what I do and it's what I know and it's what I can do to the best of my ability. So why even sort of, you know, try to do something else which, you know, doesn't give me that sort of satisfaction or I'm not even good at. So yeah, that's pretty much, you know, which is what you hear on these tracks is pretty much what I know how to do. So, you know, and I'm honest about it.
Man. Absolutely. Absolutely. I dig it, man. I think it's fantastic. I can't wait. You know, the great thing when you mentioned you guys are laying down for the fourth album, the stuff for the fourth album, I got excited because that means a couple things. I get to hear more music. You know, selfishly, I got excited. And I get to have you back on the show. So that's a good thing,
yeah,
I, you know?
Yeah, hey, I've had a great time on the show.
I want to continue on this journey with you, you know, and see where I can't wait to see where you go artistically and musically, and it's very exciting, very exciting.
Yeah, thank you so much, man. You've been such a great host, man. It's been such a great experience being on this show. You know, and that's another side benefit of doing this gig, man. I get to be on shows like yours and have such a great time, man.
Yeah, make new friends. You know, awesome. It's all great. I just can't wait. And I want to mention once again, ladies and gentlemen, izzyscaravan.com. Get over to that to their website there, and you can. There is so much on this website. You can see all this cool stuff behind the scenes. This is a nice website. I have all these weird friends, man. They have crazy websites. This isn't a crazy website. I can navigate this. I'm an old man. I can find my way around this thing. This is a fantastic website. And I love it. And all of the tracks we've played and many more are available for purchase. So, you know, hit those buttons. Click them. Download that stuff, baby. It's cool. You have it. You own it then. And that's fantastic. That's a good thing. Also, add Izzy, you know, people don't realize this that aren't in the entertainment business. It is so important. We live in an algorithm world. If you dig somebody, a musician or something like that, you like their work, or, you know, whatever, a baker, if they make the best biscuits in town, like and share their social media pages. It helps so much, you know, and it gets the word out. Chances are your friends are going to dig what you dig as well because, you know, your friends. Very, very cool. Izzy, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you're wicked busy and, you know, being on the show and classing the joint up around here, I really appreciate it. You're cool.
Thank you so much for having me. This was such a great experience. I really enjoyed it. And it was great talking to you.
Oh, well, thanks, man.
Very cool.
And I'm going to tell you this, Izzy, you know this already, but I'm going to say it anyway, just in case nobody told you this today. Keep doing what you're doing because you're real, real good at it. You know, in all seriousness.
Cheers, buddy. Cheers, man.
Fantastic work. Absolutely.
Cheers. Thanks.
Well, folks, that's gonna wrap it up for us. We're right up against the time, and you know, Izzy's got things to do, so I gotta let him go. But man, this episode will be converted to a podcast, pushed out on all the various social media platforms, and all the podcasting platforms. We're on like 250 of them. It's crazy, but the big one is Apple Podcasts. They used to call it iTunes, and then they had a big meeting, and they said, hey, we need to rebrand. We're going to call it Apple Podcast. And so that's what that is. But, yeah, that's the big one. If you are listening to the show in the future, hello from the past, do me a quick favor. Hit that ratings and review. Doesn't cost anything, and it helps a lot, like we were talking about. Keeps us up at the top of the page, and, boy, does that annoy my ex-girlfriend. No, I'm kidding. They probably don't know about it. But what it does do is it makes my life so much easier when I'm talking to our advertisers and stuff. So it's a good thing. Keeps the lights on around here. Very, very cool. We will be back. When are we going to be back? Today's Friday. We're going to be back on Tuesday. So stay tuned. We got the whole rest of the month is jam-packed. I think we're doing 5 or 6 shows a week. I know we were off for a few days there during this week, but took a little summer break, but we're back at it, baby. We're back at it. So you can always check out my website, jamierocks.us, and see the upcoming shows and whatnot. Got a lot of cool stuff happening. And we're hitting – oh, this is big news, too. We were going to have a big party, but with COVID and whatnot, we're not doing that. We're hitting episode 1,000 next week. This is episode 998. When I first started doing this, I thought we were going to do maybe 20 episodes, you know, and I would find something else to do. No, we're hitting 1,000 next week. And we were going to have a party and live stream it and all this and that, but we can't do that right now. So we're going to have that party, I think, at episode 1,200 or something. We'll see. Maybe episode 1,500. I don't know. Hopefully it's not episode 2,000. Try not to do that. I'm hoping all this pandemic settles down at some point so we can have our party, you know. But, yeah, 1,000 episodes. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Okay, we will see you next time. Have a great one. Izzy, you rock, man. Keep doing it. You just keep doing it. You're so good at it. Bye, everybody.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.